what I want to share today. And when I was younger, or when I was a teenager, when I started work, I did an apprenticeship. And my tutor, my trainer would say, X, Y, Z, did you hear that? And I'd go, yes, go away and think, what did he say? And I told him that I understood what he'd asked me to do, but I hadn't really digested it, and I'd go away and immediately I'd almost forget what he had said. And I had to go back and say, Charlie, just remind me again what you asked me to do. And then going forward a bit to my time of marriage, my wife would say, X, Y, Z, have you understood that? Yes. I'd go away and think, what did she say? And immediately have to go back and say, just remind me again of what you asked me to do. And because I've had this habit in my life, and I suggest you don't do this, of not writing anything down, I would forget and I couldn't have a point of reference. So now I try to write things down that are important. And the reason for sharing that is to do with the message that I wanted to bring today. We will continue next time in Romans. It may take us a year to get through it, but we will get through it. But in the meantime, I'm sure you're the same as I am. There's times you look at scripture and it just screams at you. Well, it does at me. I get excited when I read God's word because there's something fresh in there for me all the time. And I see things and I digest it. Now, let me... I'm going to say a sentence and I'm going to ask a question, try and think of the answer. So just imagine, we don't need to imagine, we had men's breakfast yesterday. And just imagine that Nigel sent me a text and he said, morning Andrew, I trust that everything went well yesterday and that you're okay, sorry that I couldn't be there. What's the answer to that question? Did you hear what I said? The question was, I trust that you are well. So I would text back, yes, smiley face. And that's got me into trouble over the past because someone would write this lovely, eloquent note to me. Hello, Pastor Andrew. Sorry I couldn't be at church on Sunday, but really missed the opportunity to hear you speak and to hear you preach. Will there be a Sunday service this week? I'd text back, yes, smiley face. And they'd be thinking, what have I done wrong? Have I upset him? And they'd read into it far more than what they need to because they asked me a question. There was one question in all of that. And the answer was yes or no. And so when we look through scripture, there are times that we can read the scriptures and we can add things to them or take things away from them. Like the Bible says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah, but you don't understand who I am. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So the answer to that is, yes, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Yeah, but you don't understand how weak I am. It didn't say that. It says you can through Christ who strengthens you. Yes? So I just want to bring some scripture just to back up and show you how easy it is, not just for you and I, but for those that have gone before us, to misinterpret at times. And I'm going to read a portion of scripture and just say a little bit about it. It'll have the same theme through each portion of scripture, but I trust that you will glean something and learn something from these portions. That was the last one I wanted to bring, not the first one. The first one is this, in Genesis 3. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden. Now, you know the story of this? You've got Adam and Eve, they're in the garden. They've already taken of the fruit that they were told not to take of. And there they are in the garden, and God says this. He says, they're walking in the garden, and in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Verse 9. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? That's a question, isn't it? Where are you? So what's the answer? Here I am. But what did he say? I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. He didn't ask him if he was afraid or if he was naked. He asked him the question, where are you? And we can miss the simplicity of what God talks to us and what he says to us because we don't think it's enough. Well, surely there should be more. Stand up and walk. praise me. Don't do that. Do that. And what we tend to do, maybe it's just me, so you need to pray for me, but what we tend to do sometimes, may I suggest, is we think it's too simple to answer the question, yes, smiley face. So we need to put this big blurb on to explain our feelings before we say yes. Oh, I'm really sorry that I missed you, Nigel, on Saturday. I'm sure you'll make it next time. How's Emma? How are the boys? How's your son? How's your daughter? How's the refurbishment coming on the new shed that you're building? Have you had your oil tank delivered yet? And yes, smiley face. You see, I'm a person that I just answer the question. I'm sorry if it would upset or offend anybody, but you ask me a question, I answer it. Maybe it's the way my dyslexic mind works, but Scripture is the same. It asks us to do something, so let's do it. Don't do that. Yeah, but you don't understand. Stop that, but you don't understand. It hasn't asked us to elaborate. It simply asks us a question. So this one, I don't know if you've seen it before. Where are you? And he answered with a whole blurb. God didn't say that. He said, where are you? So I want you and me, I want us to understand that if we kind of grab hold of what God says to us, we can see the simplicity in his command. It talks in verse 33 of Matthew 6. But seek first the kingdom of and righteousness will be added. It's talking about all the things that we would want. But if we seek the kingdom first, and it goes on to say this in 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow has enough worry of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own, should I say. But we do worry about tomorrow sometimes, don't we? You know, the Bible says don't worry. But we do. So we need to get to a point where we can say, Lord, today, as long as it's called today, is the day of salvation. There's something coming up tomorrow, Lord, that you know my heart. You know the way I fret. You know the way I'm feeling about this interview or about this meeting with one of my friends or one of my colleagues or my enemy. You understand that I have to go to the bank. But the Bible says don't worry about tomorrow. It's difficult, isn't it? But it's what it says. Don't worry about tomorrow, but we do. It didn't say, don't worry about tomorrow, just fret a little bit. It says, no, don't worry about tomorrow. And so I suggest to us as Christians, it's so difficult sometimes not to worry, not to fully grasp what's being said to us. It says this, but they went away, that they, when they come to arrest you, do not worry about what to say. So I trust and I hope that you won't be arrested because of something that you've done wrong. But there are times that we have to go to the office or we have to meet with someone and we're thinking, Lord, I don't know what to say in this situation. And we start to worry about it. We start to maybe think something is bigger than what it is. And just imagine the scenario. You're working, you've been working for someone for quite a while and you get called into the office. All right, I'll do a different way. I used to live next door to elders of the church that I used to attend. And when they would ring up and say, hello, Andrew, would you like to come round for a meal? I'd think, oh my goodness, what have I done? And I'd start worrying about what it is I've done and what I'm going to say in defence of the thing that I don't know what it is they're going to accuse me of. Anyone else been there? I'm already worrying about it. And yet the Bible says don't worry about it. And how do we have the antidote to that? It says out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So if you have the goodness of God dwelling within you, then good things will come out. Even if you're accused of something that maybe is false. Or something is put before you that you can easily say, no, it wasn't me. But we can worry about what to say in circumstances. Just put yourself in that picture and then come back to what Scripture says. There's wisdom in what the word says. It says, do not worry. Do not worry about what to say. I'll give you the very words. And you know, if you think about the simplicity of that, and the simplicity about the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak, we need to get our heart right. So as I go to that meeting with my elders, I need to make sure my heart is right. As I go to that meeting with my boss, the person that employs me, I need to get my heart right. as I go to a meeting with a member of the congregation, not knowing what it is they want to bless me or they want to challenge me, I need to get my heart right. And if my heart is right, then what comes out of the mouth will be good, yes? So this is all simple stuff, but I think we miss it so often. And we miss it because we add things to it, because we don't see the simplicity of what the word says. Do not worry, but we do. We do. I want to read this portion of scripture to you, or bring this story to you about Elisha. He sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan. Now here's a story here of a man who was honoured, but he had leprosy. And he went to the house of the king and he said, I know that you can do miraculous things. He said, what am I, God? And he tore his clothes, he tore his robes, and he was in sackcloth because he couldn't do what God did. And Elisha heard about what happened and he summoned the man to come to the house. And it was Naaman, and you'll know the story. He said, go and wash yourself or dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored to you and you will be cleansed. Here's a simple command. Go and dip 7 times in the Jordan. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and I would be cured of leprosy. And I suggest this time that you will be excited, and I've been excited in my life, where you go, yeah, God can do this. And someone has come up to you and just said something simple like, you know, God loves you. He wants you to be healed. And you dismiss it because you think, well, I thought we'd have this big service and everyone would be singing his praises and the glory of the Lord would be tangible in the room and the pastor would jump up and down and he'd get his oil out and he would be so excited that I would get excited and faith would start to rise within me, and as he called me forward for prayer, I would come in faith, he'd lay hands on me and I'd be healed. But simply the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. You don't have to have the service. You don't have to have the jumping. This man was told simply from the Lord, just go dip 7 times. He could not accept the simplicity of God's word. And I suggest that there are times in our lives, and those that are listening to this, there's times where it's too simple. Too simple. Nicodemus didn't understand the simplicity of what Jesus was saying. What do you mean I must be born again? And that's okay. I can't be born a second time into my mother's womb. I'm too big. That's okay. Jesus showed him the way. There's a spiritual birth. And once he grasped that, once his eyes was opened and his heart was enlarged, he understood not just that, but many things that Jesus taught. And there are times that we as Christians, and maybe some of us in this room, have got to a place where it's just too simple. Surely it can't be that simple. When I was a young Christian, you know I'm dyslexic and I don't read books, and I listen to scripture, and now I can look at scripture and it just leaps out at me. But when I was a young Christian, we had home groups, and I was very shy. I still am very shy, believe it or not. And I didn't like to read out loud because of my lack of understanding when it came to computing words. So I would ask people to go by. I don't want to read. And then the leader of that group would ask questions. They'd read a portion of scripture and say, so what do you think that means? And people would answer and give their opinion. This one day, it was on that very scripture of Nicodemus. And it was asked the question, so what do you think it says, Andrew? And I said, well, it's a spiritual birth. It's that what Jesus is saying is flesh gives birth to flesh and spirit to spirit. He said, yes, that's correct, but how do you know? I said, because that's what it says. Yeah, but who told you that? Well, that's what it says. And I had to explain to this man, I said, look, it says flesh gives birth to flesh and spirit gives birth to spirit. So it's a spiritual birth. It's like when the Bible says I must be born again, it's born of God's spirit from above. It's something that comes from above, that's given and it comes inside. And he said, yes, I know that's true. But how do you know? You see, he couldn't understand that I simply saw what it said. Yeah. And there's times that we look at scripture and we don't see what it says. Just go and dip 7 times. Yes, Lord. 7. Healed. No. I'm expecting in Jesus' name. I'm not making fun of anyone, but do you see what I'm saying? The simplicity of God's word. He was angry. And do you know what? God can't work on an angry heart, can he? Unless it's softened. So there's times that we get frustrated with God because we think he's going to do something a certain way. We're praying for something and it doesn't happen the way that we think it should happen. So we get angry with God. Yet he just says, wait, be patient. Yeah, but how much longer? Be patient. See, if God says it, he'll do it. And there's the key. Has God said it? In his word, he has said so much to us that we can grab it and we can learn from it. Staying with Kings, this time 1 Kings 13. But the man of God answered the king, even if you were to give me half of your possessions. Listen, just imagine, God has singled you out as a prophet of his. In them days, he used to speak through men, and he would say, give them a message to take to someone else, and almost go, thus saith the Lord. And here was a message that was being said about an altar being split open, and about sin and restoration and the rest of it. And the king was so pleased, and he understood the message came from the Lord, that he wanted to give a gift to this prophet. And the prophet was told beforehand, do not eat or drink with these people, deliver the message and then go. And as we read this story, it says this, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water here, for I was commanded by the word of the Lord. Now, we need to read this. He was commanded by the word of the Lord. So we can't get that bit straight. Do not eat, do not drink with these people. He was commanded by the word of the Lord. You must not eat bread or drink water or return by the way you came. There's times where the Bible says, do not do that because this will happen. You can minister to an alcoholic and they say, yeah, but you don't understand. I just don't drink. Yeah, but it's not that simple. Well, I'll explain what you can do in that situation when we get to it. He was commanded by the word of the Lord. You must not eat or drink. So he took another road and he went on his way. And then there was an old prophet in the town. And the old prophet said, what happened there? And he told him the story. And he said, well, I'm going to go to him. And I'm going to try and encourage him to come back and eat and drink with me. And he went to this young prophet and he said, I too am a prophet. And an angel of the Lord said to me that you can come back and eat and drink with me. And the young prophet went back and he ate and he drank and he died. Don't seem fair, does it? So who was wrong? The old prophet or the young prophet? Well, the young prophet, because God had said, do not do that. And there's times in our lives where God's word will tell you to do something and not to do something. And a pastor, a minister, a godly friend will tell you to do something different. And because you put your trust in them, you can be disobedient to God. So when God's word says, do not do that, and then a pastor, a priest, a religious man, woman, or friend says, God won't mind. He loves you. He won't mind if you do that. That's just a small sin. And then we do it, then we wonder why we're punished for it. And then we blame God. But God has already said, do not. Does that make sense? And that happens to all of us all the time, because quite rightly at times we trust people, and we should. This is why for us in Grace, that we want to preach the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Yes, we may bring stories in. Yes, we may have a different style. One pastor or one minister may jump up and down and ask you to say amen all the time, and another one don't. One person looks at you when he's talking about sin and you think he's talking to you, and another pastor like me will just look into the air because he doesn't want to look at anybody. But what does God's word say? You see, when something happens in your life, If you come to me and you say to me, Pastor, I believe God has told me I'm to move to Jamaica. What do you think? What's my answer going to be? Doesn't matter what I think. Because you've already said, God said. If you said, would you pray with me, would you fast with me, would you seek God's word and his presence with me, and let's come up with that answer, then I can give you an opinion. But I can't override God. And that's what this young prophet did. He believed the story that an angel had overridden God. Do you know what? In life, you will be told this, if you haven't already, that you need Jesus and... You need Jesus and... Jesus and something else. You need Jesus and something else. You need Jesus and counselling. You need Jesus and this. You need Jesus and that. But actually, the Bible says all you need is Jesus. Amen. Yeah? Now, we're encouraged not to stop meeting together. We're encouraged to give of ourselves, give of our finances, give of our time and our talents. Yes, we are encouraged to do that. But that's not what we need to do to find salvation. We just need him. We need to trust and believe it's by Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone. And so when we read stories like this, if we choose to see what's being said here, we can almost feel sorry for the young prophet. But there's a clue in the title. He was a prophet. He was someone who heard God. He should have known better. And there's times where mature Christians, we should know better because God's already said. And if there's two roads and one is narrow and harsh and one is wide and lush, it's so easy to be tempted by the gatekeeper that says, that's okay. I know God as well. And he said, it's okay to enter through this gate. And we enter and we find destruction. So the message I'm bringing is really just look at what God says. Let's be challenged by did God say, and let's just dissect what people say to us as well. When they ask us a question, what is the question they're asking us? You know, can you pick me up for church on Sunday at 9 o'clock? Yes or no? Yes or no? Can you imagine the conversation? I'll pick on my glamorous assistant, Nigel. Is it okay if you pick me up next Sunday, Nigel, and I come into church with you? And he says, I'll think about it. So I ring him up at 10 to 9 and he says, I'm still thinking. That's no good to me, is it? It's no good to you. I just need a yes or a no. I'm happy with, let me check my diary. I'm happy with, it may be possible, I'll ring you this afternoon. But I just asked a question. Yes or no? And the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. My children used to hate that when my wife would say, the Bible says, let my yes be yes and my no be no, and it's no. Yeah, but, no buts. It's no. Or it's yes. And sometimes it was maybe, let me talk to that. So I hope you glean what it is I glean from this. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here. The reason I wanted to put this together was because of this portion of scripture. It says, here there was a great number of disabled people who used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. So just get the picture. There's a pool in this time, and it's Siloam, the pool of scent. And there was a lot of mysterious things around what was supposed to happen at this time. And Jesus is passing through and he sees a man that's invalid for 38 years. And it gives you the impression there that he inquired about this man. He inquired about his condition. And he was told that he'd been in this condition for a long time. He asked him, do you want to get well? There's two answers. What are they? Yes or no? Yeah? Is that true?
Yeah.
Good. His answer was, sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Jesus didn't ask him that, did he? He just said, do you want to get well? See how simple it is. And when I read this portion of scripture and I wasn't looking for it, it just jumped out at me. How many times does God ask us a question and we kind of give all the other stuff of why it's not happened? Will you serve me? I will, as long as you do this and do this I didn't ask you that. Will you serve? Well, come follow me and I will make you. So what he said to his disciples, come follow me and I will make you. I will make you disciples. I will make you into fishers of men. But they didn't say, yeah, I will. Well, maybe they did say, let me go and do this and let me go and do that. Let the dead bury their own dead, Jesus says. You come follow me. Come follow me and I will make you. The question Jesus asked this man, who was probably desperate, alone, sad and lonely, had no hope. Do you want to get well? The answer should have been yes or no. And instead of that, he made excuses. So I want to challenge us as a people. If God asks you a question, just give him an answer. And it can be no. You know, will you follow me to the ends of the earth? Nope, I'll go to the end of the road, but I'm not going to the end of the earth. That's okay, I'll ask someone else. It's not a problem. Do you know what's not a problem for God? If God says to you, will you give into my kingdom? And you say no, he'll ask someone else. See, he's not relying on us, is it? This is a good news message, by the way. This is to encourage us, not to pull us down. But what I'm saying is this, we have a choice. You know, something I like to say is God loves you enough to give you the choice to choose. Keep an eye on time. Yes or no? Will you take care of my people? What does Jesus say to Peter when he'd got things wrong? When he'd got things wrong? When he denied him? Will you feed my lambs? The question before that was, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? You know that I love you. Just one question, one answer. Do you love me? And God can say the same to you and me. Do you love me? The answer is yes. It's not like, well, yeah, because you healed me. Yes, because you provided for me. Do you love me? Yes or no? Will you follow me? This is why the gospel is so simple yet so fearful for many people. Because God softens a man and a woman's heart. And he simply says to them, come follow me. Some people say yes and some people say no. No, I'm not ready. No, I'm happy in my addiction. I'm happy in my sin. I'm happy wallowing in the pig pen. No. But the question is the same. Will you follow me? And so for you and I as Christians, as we look through God's word, let's look at it with fresh eyes and see the question that's being asked us. See the answer that's being given us. So often when there's a question being asked, God's already given us an answer to it. So he was there 38 years. He gave excuses. But there's a wonderful reaction that Jesus has. He still says to this man, get up and walk. Take your mat and go home. And at that point, faith entered into this man's heart and he rose. But he could have so easily missed it, couldn't he? Because if it was me, I would have respected you. What do you mean by that? Glad you asked. So I'll come up and I'll say, would you like me to pray with you? And you go, no thanks. And I won't. But God has already said to me, if you lay hands on that man, that woman, they will rise. They will be well. So maybe the question or the conversation should be this. I believe the Lord wants to do something special in your life today. I believe he's asked me to just pray with you to receive his blessing. Can I do that? If you say no, I won't pray. If you say yes, I will. But do you see the emphasis? The relationship is God asked a question, we have an opportunity. It may be a man or a woman to come up to you and you don't trust them. And they say, I believe God has said I'm to do this or I'm to do that. Well, maybe at that time we should question. But if you know that God is working in your life and you trust that individual, then you have the power of the tongue. Yes or no? So do I. Do you want to get well? So there's a question for you and I today. Do you want to get well? I'm sure the answer is yes. And there's many ways that God can bring about wellness or healing or wholeness in our lives. It's not just our physical body, it's our mental capability, us physical, mentally, emotionally, financially well. That's what salvation means. Did you know that? Salvation is nothing broken, nothing missing. So if you imagine the wholeness of God's word, that's salvation. Fully restored, complete, nothing broken, nothing missing. But my legs don't work properly. You are a child of God, nothing broken, nothing missing. But I don't feel. Doesn't matter about our feelings, does it? It matters about the fact of God's word. That he loves you, that he died for you, that he's restored you. Yes, there's a time that our body needs to catch up with what God has said and God has done. And there's times that we won't see the fullness of God's healing in our lives until we're in eternity. Yes, I understand that. But there are things in our lives that we can grab hold of now while we are alive, and we can say, yes, smiley face, or no. In Acts 8:26, the angel of the Lord said to Philip, go. This is a story of obedience. A simple story. God said to Philip, go. And what did he do? He went. He said, you will find a man who is reading a book. You'll find him in a chariot. There'll be a time where you can explain what it is that he's reading. And when you read this story, the eunuch said, how can I understand what I'm reading unless someone explains it to me? Who are they talking about here? And it was unfolded. The gospel was unfolded to him. Philip was asked to do something and he did it. He was asked a question and he answered it. And then this man grabbed hold of the truth of what he was reading. And he said, well, I should be baptized. Stop the carriage. Here's some water. Philip baptized him. See how simple that is? God said, he did. There was a reward. And that's how simple it is sometimes. But the key for you and I as Christians is, first thing, did God say? Going back to Genesis, right in the beginning of the garden, did God really say not to eat of the tree? Yes, he did. So why did you eat then? Didn't ask that question, did he? The serpent? Satan? Didn't ask that question. But the truth was, God did say. And for you and me, I think it's time to look at Scripture with fresh eyes and just say, if God said it, and he asks me to do it, then I know I have a choice. And do you know God will love you no less if you say no? I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about Christians born of his spirit. God asks you to do something and you feel it's too difficult for you. It's okay to be honest with God because he already knows what your answer is, but he's waiting for you to say it. I can't do this, Lord. I'm not strong enough. However, teach me, show me, encourage me. So if God says it, we need to be encouraged to do it. Revelation. Here's a warning from the Lord. You ready? Have you read other portions of Scripture or other manuscripts, or you've read other versions of the Bible? I'm not talking about one of us. We have the NIV, another one has the SRV, another one has the King James, another one has the Authorized King James. All these different interpretations are the same interpretation of the same word. They've looked at it, scholars have read over it and they've understood it and they've translated it from original Greek or Hebrew or even Latin, and they've dissected and looked at the truth of God's word. They've took eyewitness account, they've took historical fact, and they've put it together and said, this is what we believe is the inspired word of God. And it's said in a way which we can understand. I understand the NIV. It speaks my language. It's plain, it's simple. But other people use different translations. But there are some books that have Holy Bible that have been misused, that they've had things added to them and they've had things taken away from them. Jesus is a God, not the God. He is a Lord, not the Lord. He is a prophet, not the prophet. He is one way of many. ways to get to God. You see, there are things that have been added, and there's things that have been taken away. And Scripture tells us this: I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. And if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person plague. I told you that was a good news story, didn't I? This is encouraging, because this is something not to do. He will add to them the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll, or the scroll of the prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city which is described in this scroll. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. You see, this portion of Scripture sums up a lot of what I'm saying. We don't need to add to God's word. We don't need to take away from God's word. We just simply need to digest it and understand it. Please hear my heart. There are times that you'll look at a portion of Scripture and it'll say, and Judas went away and hung himself. Go do likewise. No. You know, we need to look at it with eyes that are willing to see. We need to read it with a heart that is willing to digest. And there'll be times where Scripture is plain. It says, do not commit adultery. Do not envy. Do not strive for things that are not yours to have. Do not murder. Do not forsake the meeting together. Do not. There are times where we understand that this is simply no. And there's other times where we're confused. Is God talking to me, or is he talking to the people of the day? We need to look into his word and understand. But the message for us today is, let's not complicate God's word. Let's listen to what he says in his word. Let's digest it and be obedient to it. When it comes to God's people, let's weigh up what they say to us. Because someone might say to you, I too am a prophet, and the angel of the Lord has revealed to me that you're to marry me. And before you marry me, you're to sign all your wealth over to me. Thus saith the Lord. But it happens. I have a vision here, Kurt, that God wants you to bless me with your car. And Kurt says, well, he hasn't said nothing to me. Right answer. Do you see what I'm saying? I can bring a message, and I'm trying to get more money into the coffers of the church, so I can make you squirm and squeal and say, if you really loved God, you'd give more. Do you love God? And everyone says, yes. Well, give more then. What does the Bible say? Agree an amount in your heart and be a cheerful giver. See, God's already given you the answer to that question. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking. I think you've got the message, hopefully. Let's not make simple things complicated, and let's not make complicated things simple. What I mean by that is, let's not take the truth and try and dilute it. Let's not take the truth and try and add to it. Let's not, if God says, do you want to get well, answer him yes or no. If God says, will you do this for me, yes or no. God says to you, will you travel here and be my advocate, yes or no. As simple as that. It's as simple as that. Do you trust me, yes or no. Will you walk with me, yes or no. Will you speak of me, yes or no. It's so simple, isn't it? Yes or no. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace and your mercy upon our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the simplicity of your word. We thank you, Lord, that you love us, you encourage us, that you change us, that you challenge us, that you enable us to be who you've called us to be. Father God, may we have discernment of your voice, discernment of what we are being told, discernment, Father God, of the spirits, that we may walk close to you, that we may be obedient to your voice. That, Lord, when you call, we can say, here I am, use me. Amen.